There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Country of New Hampshire, looking out on the presidential mountain range right out of here, the media room, the LRN.FM studios here at Rogers Campground, Porcupine Freedom Festival. It has been another fantastic day. We're interviewing right now Stefan Kinsella. Stefan, this is your first Porcupine Freedom Festival, is that right?
It is.
Yeah, so, I mean, how long you been here for? Just a few hours? How long you been here?
Oh, no, I got here Thursday.
Yeah, how's it been for you?
It's been a blast. One of the best conferences I've ever been to.
Yeah, not like any other conference you've been to. No ties, very few ties.
The closest was Libertopia in San Diego.
Libertopia, it's a wild event. And
Jeff Tucker was wearing a tie the entire time I saw him.
Jeff Tucker wears ties. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if he would know how to dress without a bow tie, right? Like, it's his thing.
His pajamas probably have bow ties.
Could very well be the case. Stefan Kinsella, I had a chance to see at least part of your speech today, and you talk on a topic, generally, you're usually asked to talk on a topic, because you are a former patent attorney, I don't know how to describe that.
I'm a practicing and recovering patent attorney at the same time.
Okay. And you get to ask to talk about the topic of intellectual property, and this is a very divisive topic in the liberty movement. So tell us your stance.
It is divisive, although I've found over the years that it's become less so. Here, it seems like the crowd is overwhelmingly in agreement with me on this position. My position is that intellectual property is a misnomer. We are in favor of property rights as libertarians. However, patent and copyright are government-granted monopoly privileges, which are completely antithetical to liberty, property rights, and the free market. They are called property to, you know, sell them to the public. So my position is that patent and copyright law are completely harmful to technology, innovation, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and should be abolished.
So, you know, a lot of people are going to say, look, innovation. I always go to the practical argument. So I'm concerned about innovation.
Right.
I want there to be more innovation in the marketplace, not less innovation in the marketplace. And I guess I'm willing to, make some compromises in that realm. So we've had intellectual property in this country probably, or sort of in the Western world since when? I mean, when's this sort of start?
I'd say the modern system is around 1790, right after the Constitution was ratified in the U.S.
And what did they recognize at that point? Because we're using intellectual property all the time and not compensating people for it. So, you know, turning iron into steel, essentially it was an idea and a technique that was created. Nobody's compensating, whoever, Belshazzar, the ironmonger that figured out how to make the first most rudimentary form of steel, right?
Vulcan.
Yeah.
Vulcan is who brought steel and working the forge to humans.
I'm pretty sure that's imaginary. So, I mean, nobody's compensating him. Tharg, who created the wheel.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, I mean, these people aren't getting compensated. The cars are being driven all around, made out of steel, on wheels, and Tharg and Belshazzar are not getting compensated for their intellectual property.
Right. And, you know, we generally call this progress when the human body of human knowledge increases and we can all benefit from it. The way I look at it is the founders, the framers of the Constitution, had a hunch. They were basically going on an existing system that had come from government control of free thought in England, the Statute of Anne in 1709, where they were trying to keep people from printing books without the permission of the church or the government. That's the origin of copyright. And the Statute of Monopolies in 1623 in Britain, which regulated how the government or the crown could grant these monopolies to his court cronies. Patent and copyright law in the U.S. were based upon this idea. I think the founders had a hunch that we could use something like that in the U.S. to stimulate innovation in a new country, to encourage the printing of books, things like that. It was just a hunch because they didn't have empirical studies. They didn't have armies of economists back at the time. You would think that sometime in the last 220-something years, someone would have done one single study unambiguously proving that actually their hunch was correct and that we need patent and copyright law to stimulate art and innovation and that we could demonstrate how much we've benefited from it. But to the contrary, there are no studies like this. All the studies either conclude, you know, we really just can't figure this out. Or they say, it looks like this stuff is costing us a lot and distorting culture and limiting free speech to boot.
So you have a book. What's the name of the book?
Against Intellectual Property.
Against Intellectual Property by Stefan Kinsella. And now what if I took the book and scribbled out your name and put Mark Edge, King Mark the First, on it, and then began to promote it on my radio program? So this would be officially sort of known as plagiarism. How does that?
Yes.
How does plagiarism work into the theory sort of intellectual property?
Intellectual property law is a very complicated and sometimes boring field.
I bet it is.
Yeah. It takes the extreme specialist to understand it, just like the tax law and other things. Patent and copyright law are no exceptions. So people get confused about what they mean. So they'll use words like fraud and contract and plagiarism when they're really describing different things. Plagiarism, as you said, just means publishing a work and misrepresenting who the author is or not giving proper attribution or credit. In today's world, copyright still doesn't last forever, although it lasts way too long, well over a century. But there's many works that are in the public domain, works by Plato, Aristotle, Shakespeare. There's nothing prohibiting you in copyright law right now from publishing Romeo and Juliet with your name on there. You're free to do that right now.
Laughable.
You'd be made a laughingstock of. No one would buy your book. They want to keep the original.
Because people would think it is fraud.
Right.
Well, they would think if you change your name, what else did you change? I'm not getting the original story.
Romeo is now named Stefan. Juliet is now named King Mark.
Yeah. Now, another thing, if Mark wrote a sequel or a parody of Romeo and Juliet, and he called it Romeo and Juliet, and he said, yeah, I've changed a lot of things. I've been playing with new themes. What's wrong with people buying that? Although a court actually banned the publication of a sequel to Catcher in the Rye, by J.D. Salinger, prohibited from being published, even though it was a sequel of the book.
People are often going to talk about drugs. I mean, we need innovation in the area of pharmaceuticals. If we don't get innovation, human progress dies. You hate human progress, don't you, Stefan Kinsella? Right? Like, that's essentially the argument, right?
Only when it helps the state, Mark. The perverse thing is we're counting upon the federal government to enact a legal system that helps the pharmaceutical industry when that same federal government has enacted the FDA process, which imposes multi-millions of dollars in extra costs upon these companies. So it's sort of like
driving up costs on drugs
for
individuals.
It's good master, bad master. You know, the person who hits me, I come to them for help.
And to sort of claim that the FDA somehow, you know, keeps us safe by having these procedures in place to make sure that there's innovation in drugs, this is the same FDA that whenever they find out that a drug has killed a bunch of people, they put out a recall to the drug that they first gave approval to because they said this drug will not kill people.
Yeah, and of course there's many drugs they don't approve of, and then the people that die because they didn't have access to this, we don't see them. These are the unseen costs. And what is the libertarian fake acronym for FDA? We call it the Federal Death Administration, you know?
I think a great example is there was a drug that was in the 80s intended to treat AIDS, but the FDA wouldn't approve it. So they were having AIDS patients or people that cared for them going across the border to Mexico, smuggling this stuff into the United States, and then distributing it. I mean, what's the worst case scenario if you've got a terminal illness of taking a drug that's intended to treat a terminal illness? I mean, if things don't work out, you die like you're going to die from the terminal illness. And this happens all the time.
And it's not just the FDA. It's the patent system itself. There are studies coming out right now showing that the patents by Western pharmaceutical companies on AIDS drugs themselves and other drugs too, like the anthrax drug Cipro, and also there's one called Fabrazyme, which treats Fabry's disease. There are people dying. And actually right now the pharmaceutical industry has forwarded this fast-track authority in Congress, which is going to give Obama the ability to get the Trans-Pacific Partnership enacted very soon, which will export U.S. patent standards to developing nations,
yep.
which is going to increase the cost of AIDS drugs, and it's going to kill people.
Yeah, so people that by the way, claim that if you're a libertarian and you don't like it in this country, you might as well leave, are really not acknowledging the fact that the United States government has managed to mete out treaties that essentially homogenize governance around the world and concentrate power into Washington, D.C. They're not just the government the claiming the ownership and control of the United States. They're claiming it of the globe. And it seems like it's only going to increase. We'll be back with Stefan Kinsella here shortly. You can give us a call if you wish. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live, coming to you live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear. A life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now. 1-800-940-5957. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-940-5957. That's 1-800-940-5957. 1-800-940-5957.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you can consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, coming to you live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival here at Rogers Campground. The sun's beginning to set. The presidential mountains are casting its light. They are a beautiful sight. I think that's my favorite part of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but it's been a great event. We've had family events, parties, speeches, just a variety of things to do. Lots of people just hanging out and chit-chatting. It's a great event, and lots of Bitcoin getting used.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, some vendors are even offering discounts if you use Bitcoin. You can get Bitcoins by going to expresscoin.com. They make it easy for you to get your cryptocurrencies, whether it's Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dogecoin. They make it fast, safe, easy, and inexpensive. They are a licensed money services business, so you don't have to worry about any monkey business. You can get your cryptocurrencies with a money order or a check. Just start off at ExpressCoin.com. Whether you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can even do it with your smartphone by downloading their app. ExpressCoin.com. Use coupon code FTL. That's FTL as in Free Talk Live to get up to $40 worth of your favorite cryptocurrency with no fee at all. ExpressCoin.com. Coupon code FTL. So we've got Stefan Kinsella, who I would say is sort of the undisputed expert in the Liberty Movement on, talking about the ideas of intellectual property. I've been asking some questions that are pretty common when we talk about these issues. Stefan, one thing is, one sort of set of line of questioning is kind of the emotional appeal when it comes to talking about intellectual property. So we've had people call in, for instance, a photographer has called in and said, "Hey man, I make a living taking pictures, and if people can just take my pictures online and Photoshop out my watermark or whatever on them, I'm never going to make any money, and so therefore you're driving me out of business. It's not like it's easy making money as a photographer anyway. Please don't make it harder."
Yeah, and I think that is true. I think what's happened is business models have changed and technology has changed. So some things that were easy to make money on in the older age before the internet are no longer as easy to make money off of.
You mean like talk radio? Is that what you're saying?
Candle maker.
You tell me. You're the expert on that.
We need to protect the candle makers from that foreign light substance called the sun. And that's basically what this
lighting
is, right?
Yes, it's competition. And basically the internet has become the world's greatest copying machine. Right, it's never. Cory Doctorow says in one of his speeches, "It's never going to get any harder to copy than it is right now. It's just not."
Yeah, I mean, you really have to ask yourself. So if I take, I go online, I search presidential mountains, I get a beautiful picture of these presidential mountains here on that I'm looking at through the window. I decide I want to make this my Facebook banner thing. If you're not familiar with
the cover photo.
Cover photo, that's what it's called. I don't know all the proper names. And then suddenly, should I be paying something to the photographer that took that picture, or do
well,
I just cut and right click and put it up?
But to my mind, if you make some information public, then you can't complain about people knowing about it or using it or learning from it or spreading it or building upon it or even copying it if you're not doing a good job. But the photography example is interesting because, well, first of all, in the original patent, copyright law and the founder's copyright, it's called photographs. Of course, there was no such thing as photographs, but they weren't covered. Paintings weren't covered, things like this. So this is a new innovation that photographers are used to. But a weird aspect of photography law is in copyright is that the photographer owns the copyright. So if you're on a vacation and you hand your camera to someone to take a snapshot of your family, some random stranger, you don't actually own the copyright to your picture, and you don't know who does, actually.
If a monkey grabs your camera and takes a picture of itself, you do not own the copyright, and
not
that
so.
Was an actual case
no.
that was settled by the patent office.
Turns out that the macaque does not own it, that the owner of the camera at that point, it reverts to the owner of the camera. We discussed
That's
that,
not what the patent office
Then we're
going
to have to go through that.
And
on the
patent law, I've read the patent law on that, and anything that is claimed to have been written by or created by a deity or like some other supernatural entity is public domain. Is that a correct interpretation?
Well, I think you're talking about the Shroud of Turin. I'm not sure who owns the copyright to that, but it could be God.
No, like I've actually read, in where it talks about creations by animals. So there's the elephant that picks up the paintbrush and paints pictures.
My understanding is that that's a field in flux, and that the view of some copyright scholars is that that's actually public domain because there's no author. You could also argue that the person who set the scene up is the author. But no, take security cameras. You just have a security camera somewhere just taking timed pictures, automatic pictures. Who owns the copyright to that? The guy that installed the camera?
These are all interesting questions. And I do think you're right. The business model for photographers is changing. I mean, you know, ultimately, every business model for every type of business morphs over time. And you know, if you want to make a living doing photography, you're going to have to take pictures of the things people want taken pictures of, that are willing to contract you to take pictures of. For instance, weddings, or, you know, fly over their business with an airplane, with your drone, or whatever.
Right, just like musicians might have to tour and give live performances. There's all kinds of ways you can use your hobby or your skill set or your passion to advertise yourself, to mix it up with another career, to make money some other kind of way. That's really the entrepreneur's job.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned about musicians touring, because it's my understanding about, you know, history of like the music industry. At one time, bands did not want to tour they wanted to tour. They did not want to release albums because they said, well, then people can just listen to our music at home and they'll never come see us perform live.
Right.
So it's that you've got to change the business model sort of thing. And now a lot of people are like, we're not touring because we make too much money selling albums, and people can record our music at the tour and then they'll never buy the album.
Well, our children now, not only do they not buy CDs or LPs, for God's sake, or CD cassettes, they don't even buy iTunes albums anymore. Now they're streaming. They're not even pirating anymore, for what I can see. They don't want the copies of the stuff on their hard drives. They're just using Spotify.
Yep.
For radio.
So somebody's changed the business model, and they are using intellectual property laws to get the ASCAP BMI fees are higher for internet streams than they are for radio stations.
That's true.
This is the reason that Pandora recently purchased an FM radio station in South Dakota with the intention of morphing themselves into a radio company that has a internet stream, as opposed to being an internet streaming company.
Right.
That has to pay the higher fees.
So is that why Clear Channel changed the name to iHeart Media?
I don't know. I imagine that probably to some extent they've changed it for a variety of reasons. Maybe just because they didn't want to be known as Clear Channel anymore. It's not like it's necessarily a positive brand.
Right. I just didn't know because they are the parent company of iHeart Radio. So I figured, you know, like put everything under an iHeart something.
No, I think that they've had a lot of success with their online website, iHeartRadio.com, and as a matter of fact, we're on there, and they're just trying to enterprise off of that. That would be my guess.
And Mark, you know the example you gave about the trying to call yourself a streaming versus a radio station or whatever. This is just an example of the danger of this overwhelming flood of government regulation that classifies everything. So people, of course, respond to it. I mean, did you hear about the Uber case the other day where, you know, Uber says Uber is held to be an employer now of employees, not contractors.
In California.
I think it was in California.
Yep.
Classifications matter.
Where can people go find your work, Stefan?
StefanKinsella.com. That's with an A. PHAN. Or C4SIF.org. C4SIF.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on, Stefan. It's a pleasure to meet you in real life.
Thanks. You too, Mark.
Thank you. Free Talk Live.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 662237 extension 129.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoBite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoBite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. And ExtendoBite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoBite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoBite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. You can give us a call at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been doing some interviews here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival here at Rogers Campground in beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire, overlooking the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And it has been a wonderful week. We still have yet one more show to do from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We've had lots of interesting folks come through for interviews. By the way, it's Mark.
King
Mark
and Daryl.
Yeah, King Mark the First and...
And Daryl, and a live studio audience.
Thank you so much.
A dwindling live studio audience, but a live studio audience nonetheless.
You do realize that at 8 o'clock, Buzz's big gay dance party started, and so people are going up.
Right, but a lot of people left because right after Stephen Kinsella because they wanted to sit and see what Mr. Kinsella had to say.
Yep, he's got an entourage that's going around with him, no doubt about it. If you're online, you need to protect yourself. Your internet service provider is saving your surfing history. Criminals are attempting to sniff out your Wi-Fi packets. Governments and corporations are limiting what you can see on the internet, not to mention the NSA sweeping up all your metadata. ProXPN can solve all of that. You just go, you download their app. It's for Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Linux, whatever. Make it very easy, set up, and you're protected. No more prying, no more spying. One account works for all your devices. You don't have to have separate accounts for each device. You just go to proxpn.com/FTL, and you'll get 50% off the regular monthly price. price when you buy an annual account with our code, FTL50. So it's like $5 a month. That's for the lifetime of the account, no matter which premium account you have. So it's not just for the first year, it's for forever. With the premium account, you get unlimited bandwidth with servers all around the world that you can access, the ability to privately torrent, you can get past regionally blocked websites, and ProXPN doesn't keep records of your online habits. You get all that with a risk-free 7-day money-back guarantee. ProXPN.com/FTL, promo code FTL50 for a great discount on privacy that is priceless. We have with us Bernard von Nothaus, who is the monetary architect of the Liberty Dollar. But Bernard, so describe to people what the Liberty Dollar is real quick, or was.
The Liberty Dollar was a private free market currency that was widely distributed by NORFED, National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve Act and the Internal Revenue Code. And it debuted on October 1st, 1998. It grew to prominence over the next 10 years, encompassing about 250,000 people. It was rated about 13 tons of gold, silver, platinum, and copper was confiscated.
So not rated by the federal government.
Rated by the FBI.
Yeah, rated by the FBI. Now, I was I have one of these little silver
Liberty dollars.
Yes, yeah, so Liberty dollar, not the rounds, which were so awesome, but the pieces of paper too.
Yeah, the certificates. Those are warehouse receipts, and right now we're in the petition form, the redemption form of the confiscated material by the rightful owners.
Yep.
Right.
So when the FBI came in and confiscated this gold and silver that's represented by these warehouse certificates, as you call them.
Roger.
And they took other people's money, because I have one of these receipts, and that's a receipt for a certain amount of silver.
They're bearer certificates, so you're absolutely right, Mark.
Yeah, so they took mine, and I mean, at any point, now you had a case where they, because they raided you, they decided to charge you with all kinds of things in the process. Did you have was there anything addressed as far as these receipts in that case? Were they saying that the people that have those were somehow participating in some kind of, I don't know, scam or something?
Actually, no. The receipts were acknowledged by the government to be so different than their currency that the silver certificates and gold certificates were never part of my case. And it is that silver that backs up those certificates that are now up for grabs by 500 claimants that the government has acknowledged that is unprecedented in terms of number of claimants on one case.
So what do you say, or rather, how do you answer the questions and concerns that some people have? Like, I don't know, Mark, if you necessarily have this concern, but you have one of these warehouse receipts, and there's some government form that has to be filled out of name, address, how you acquired the receipt, etc. So how do you answer the concern that the feds are just trying to collect personal information of people that used Liberty Dollars so that they can go after them for some sort of conspiracy to commit a felony charge?
Not happening.
Just don't think it's going to happen.
No. It's far removed. They've already convicted me, and they're under strict orders from the judge to return all the gold and silver to the people who have filed a claim.
So tell us what happened in your case. So the FBI comes in. They take all the gold and silver that they can get their hands on. This was in the height of the Ron Paul campaign in 2008.
That's right.
Or maybe late 2007. I don't remember exactly.
It was still during the Ron Paul campaign.
It was sometime in that time frame. And they come in, and you're ready to send out an order, a big, huge shipment of platinum and gold and silver and copper Ron Pauls. I mean, this probably had to be one of the biggest orders you had dealt with in that time frame. So what happened?
Well, unfortunately, that's the part that's dropped through the cracks by and large. The government confiscated all the records. I mean, they took the furniture, they took everything except for the carpet on the floor. So the people who sent those orders in, there was never any framework for people to get that. By and large, with very few exceptions, people have never filed for their money back or for the unfilled orders, except for one very unfortunate, very elderly person who sent in just shy of $100,000.
Oh my.
The day before the raid. And so there was no way for that $100,000 to buy silver because it came in the day before.
Right.
So it was still sitting in the bank account. So
of course, they confiscated your ability to get to the bank account.
Well, they confiscated all the funds in the bank,
yep.
You know, including this gentleman's $100,000. So his heirs, because he's now died.
Yeah. They're probably interested in that $100,000.
Oh, they're interested in keeping whatever they can.
Yeah,
you know, they're the government, you know.
No, I meant the heirs.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So they have filed as part of their petition for that $100,000, along with a lot of other money that they had in terms of certificates. And the biggest group that's filed were for the ELDs, the Electronic Liberty Dollars. You know, those were warehouse receipts, digital warehouse receipts, and they were also covered under the judge's order for those to be returned. Unfortunately, that was all in digital form, and it's amazing. Virtually everybody, with very, very few exceptions, never kept a backup copy of their orders on ELDs. So across the board, everybody has been filing and just simply saying, I never made a copy. So they're swearing under oath of perjury that what they're saying in their petition is true, although they don't have any evidence of that. What's also interesting is that the government doesn't have any evidence of it not being the case.
Yeah, nice.
And I don't know if I have receipts from things that I ordered in 2007, so it's very possible that they don't have, you know, the proof, if you will, of, yes, I placed this order. Although one would think that, you know, you place an order, it never gets fulfilled. You would keep the email in case something happened.
Yeah, but these all the ELDs were filled. You know, I mean, this was very timely. And it was just that few days just prior to the raid when the office hadn't gotten around to filling those orders. So the ELDs looks like it's going to find the vast majority way are going to find their way back to the claimants. And what's interesting there is that they're getting Liberty dollars from the government.
Really?
Yes.
They're going to get the Liberty rounds?
Well, we don't like calling rounds. Liberty dollars.
Okay. Well, yes. I just
silver liberties.
Silver liberties. I just want to describe what they look like in order for people.
They're round. They're shiny. They're made out of silver.
And they are beautiful.
They are.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name's Cody, and I want to tell you about Peacekeeper. Peacekeeper is the world's first decentralized peer-to-peer protection system. We are developing a smartphone app that revolutionizes how people protect one another. Peacekeeper is a disruptive alternative to the status quo.
Peacekeeper is a leap forward in protection services, allowing neighbors to respond far more quickly than police and fire services can. And this is a real community builder, too.
Visit peacekeeper.org and join us.
You, me, and PTC is your Bitcoin and Liberty podcast.
We're sitting down with Mr. Jason King. If you want to with the government, feed homeless people, man.
Jeffrey Tucker, what's possible in the Bitcoin space? It sounds a little like science fiction, but if you wait enough time, it becomes a reality.
Angela Keaton from antiwar.com.
This is what the United States does, involves killer robots. For Bitcoiners, this is a way to get around that.
Subscribe at youmeandbtc.com.
By now, you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's a terrifying thought. You're trapped somewhere without a radio and no access to GCN shows, a doctor's office, the DMV, your mother-in-law's.
Come on, stay for dinner.
That's what makes the newly redesigned GCN Live app a true lifesaver. Listen to your favorite GCN hosts and programming on your smartphone, wherever you are. Download yours free on iTunes or Google Play. The new GCN Live app. Don't leave home without it.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. It's 855-450-3733. You can call in and comment on what's going on here. We're at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it has been an amazing event so far. This is our sixth-day broadcasting here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's been family events. There's been speakers, live music, dance parties, all kinds of things going on. It's fabulous. It's King Mark the First.
And Daryl, the Emperor of Anarchy, who does not recognize your royal claim.
Yes, well, you don't have to recognize it for it to be true. And we've got Bernard von Nothaus, who's the former monetary architect of the Liberty Dollar. So, Bernard, you were telling us sort of the what was happening in the court case with the Liberty Dollar. Now, you got convicted of some, I don't know, in your court case, some charges or another, and then it took them 3 years. 3 years to sentence you, right?
Yes, sir. I was convicted of counterfeiting is what I was convicted of.
So you made a coin that had an 800 number on it, a website for norfed.com. It was, you know, it didn't have any sitting or past president's head on it. Right. And somehow you were counterfeiting U.S. currency. Is that the idea?
That's the idea.
And the claim is that the front side, because it had the Statue of Liberty, and previous U.S. coins have had the Statue of Liberty on the front. Previous U.S. coins, I think, had the word peace, and yours had the word liberty, that the front of the coin looked too similar to something that used to be printed or minted by the U.S. government.
So if I make
someone could get confused.
Right. So I don't know that. Okay. So anyway.
That's the claim.
The claim is right. Like somebody could be confused that you would be spending a ounce of silver, which the federal government hasn't made since 1965.
65.
Yeah, right. And so they convicted you in, to call it 2010. You know, you're talking 35 years since the federal government has made a silver coin. And I'd like to point out, it's not like you're ripping anyone off. If you give them a coin that you know, looks like it's from the federal government and it's made out of silver, I mean, they're getting the value, right?
Right. I'm not saying that people aren't getting value. What I'm saying is that the government's claim of the counterfeit is because somebody could get confused. And most government laws are written to protect the dumbest of the dumb. So, you know, you're shaking your head
and the politicians,
so you,
but you
agree with that. You know, they're to protect the dumbest of the dumb. So somebody might get confused, so therefore we need to protect them. And because some people would be using the Liberty Dollars and not telling people this is a coin minted by a private company, they would just toss it down and say, here's a $10 coin. And somebody that has absolutely no clue about currency would be like, oh, okay. And then they go to the bank, and the bank says, we can't take this. This isn't money.
My son has some plastic coins that he got in some game or another that look almost identical to federal, United States government currency, except they say not money or something like that on
right.
the back of them. I could toss that down. It's made out of plastic, mind you. And somebody could be confused. Like, there's stupid people everywhere. There are people that are blind. There are all kinds of ailments in the world, and they could be confused. Why haven't these companies been convicted for making plastic money?
Probably because there's some sort of government regulation.
They were never in competition with the federal government. They were never making better currency than the United States federal government was.
Let me point out how much better the Liberty Dollar was. I'll give you a quick comparison. In the 10 years from 98 to 2008, that 10-year period, the Liberty Dollar moved from the $10 base to the $20 base to the $50 base. So over that 10-year period, the Liberty Dollar appreciated by 500%. Okay. Also in the same time period, the U.S. dollar went from being worth only 4 cents compared to the U.S. dollar in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came in, to being worth only 2 cents. Now, that's by the government's own records. So the U.S. dollar in that same time period lost half of its value. So the differential between the free market currency and the government crap was 1,000% different. This is a startling statement.
And I don't think the Liberty Dollar, if somebody got one, you know, like, oh, they tricked me and bought something from me with a $10 Liberty round. What do you call them? The Liberty
Silver
Dollar.
Liberty.
Silver Liberty. I've been tricked. Now, if you try to sell it, I think you'll probably get, I don't know, $40 or $50, maybe $100 on eBay, right?
The price is off now because the market is down.
Yep.
But the reality is that, yes, the Liberty Dollar has become quite a collection. Collectible item, and some of the pieces are staggeringly expensive.
Some of them have your maker's mark on them and that sort of thing.
Some of them have handcuffs on them. That's the arrest dollar. Some of them have the scales. That's the defense dollar. And then some of them have a little. We had a little gavel on it for trial dollars. Mm-hmm. These were fundraising items that we produced leading up to the trial.
So at the trial, you were found guilty of counterfeiting, and then it took them. This was the most bizarre thing that was going on. Is it took them 3 years to
sentence? Actually, three and a half.
Three and a half years. And what was the sentence?
Well, the sentence is pretty remarkable in the fact that the government right up to the end was pushing for the 22 years in federal prison. I'm in my 70s now, so
right.
That would have been
life sentence.
Right. But the judge wouldn't hear of it. It was a very unusual sentencing hearing in the fact that the judge simply discounted what the government said. And sentenced me to 6 months home detention and 3 years probation to run concurrent. So I've just completed my home detention.
Okay.
And I still have about 2.5 years of probation.
So during the 3.5 years post-conviction pre-sentencing, were you in, like, home detention? Were there any restrictions on what you could do?
Well, I was... I was still covered under the appearance bond that I established when I was arrested. So I was under those terms. And so I couldn't travel without permission. I couldn't relocate without permission. And then there was a variety of other different limitations that were put on me.
That basically sounds like probation.
It's very similar. As a matter of fact, the appearance bond is administered by the probation department.
I'm surprised they did not give you time served on that and just say, well, you were on probation for the last 3 years, so therefore, done.
There's some nuances here. That probably wouldn't have flown because the judge found himself in a difficult position because I was convicted by a jury. That means he had to sentence me. And if he had sentenced me with something like that, that would have been so lenient, then the government probably would have appealed that. And that just nobody wants to do that. So I think the judge gave me the lightest sentence that he felt that would be reasonable. And I think the judge did a good job. But the culprits in my case, without a doubt, were the two quote-unquote defendants.
I'm going to drop that here.
Okay.
Just 1 second.
So while Mark's doing that, okay. I'll talk. And you had mentioned something off the air about sort of the progression of currency from Bitcoin or silver to Bitcoin, and something Satoshi Nakamoto sort of ties into that somehow.
You know, it's really amazing. The thing that I've talked about is that the two biggest things that I enjoyed or made note about in terms of the Liberty Dollar was one of the first, the people. The Liberty Dollar really attracted very, very bright, gifted, dedicated, honest, more. Just the quality of people that it attracted spoke very well of the Liberty Dollar. The people were outstanding. Sometimes I had to run really fast to keep up with them. They were really good. Or I was a referee. I mean, it was just really outstanding.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
They made the Liberty Dollar. Number two is the residual of what happens with something that you introduce. Now, this is a product that I've been designing since my epiphany on September the 11th, 1974. So I had a good number of 25 years of design and development. I love my little baby. And so you just never know what people are going to do because of what you introduce. So I introduced the Liberty Dollar, and people did amazing things with it. But what was interesting to tie in with Bitcoin is that when I was out in California, I met a lot of people out there. California is a very engaging place.
Do we have 20 seconds, real quick?
What's that?
20 seconds.
I can't tell in 20 seconds. Okay, we'll come. Are we going to come back?
Yeah, we'll do our best.
Okay.
855, 450 free. Free Talk Live.
It is the year 91,001 BCE. Witness humanity's origins in Hypercromius, a classic role-playing game for Windows PCs with a story like no other game before. A liberty-oriented experience that is not to be missed. Go to gog.ninja to get your copy of Hypercromius today. Use the code FTL to get $1 off. Hypercromius. gog.ninja. Code FTL.
Kid, let me paint you a picture. Tuesday night? Your cog belt goes bust. Who will help you get what you need fast? Without the hoops, hurdles, or headaches? Grainger, that's who. I love Grainger. They got a wide variety of products and solutions. Grainger makes it easy to get everything we need and answers for when we're not sure what the answer is. Now, kid, let me paint you another picture. It looks like a mop, a basement bathroom, and you all over it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All loans subject to Ondex Corp. will must be business at least 1 year to apply.
Attention, small business owners needing financing. Are you too busy running your business to deal with the slow lending process of your bank? Are you frustrated at the paperwork and delays just trying to get a decision? Then you need Ondex, the A-plus Better Business Bureau rated small business experts, where our simple application process takes as little as 10 minutes and funding could be available in just one business day. At Ondex, we focus on your business operation and cash flow, not just your personal credit score. And we're ready to help with loans of up to $250,000. True business
business loans, not credit card advances. OnDeck provides financing to a wide variety of small businesses like restaurants, plumbing, landscaping, freight trucking, and healthcare providers. If you're frustrated with the paperwork and long decision times of traditional lenders, contact OnDeck. Funding could be available in just one business day. OnDeck is publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange and has provided over $2 billion to small businesses like yours. So go to OnDeckLending.com today or call 800-293-6819. That's 800-293-6819.